Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thanks so much for your support. Today, I specifically want to thank Harry for his support. We'll be sending along access to our premium site, which we do with all donations of $7 or more. And you can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. All right. Well, now it is time for today's episode of the lineup, the Wild, Wild Woman Case.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a great American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is the lineup.
My name is Greb, Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you see will be numbered.
No sense of me sticking around here. What do you know, Chadwick?
Do you have any questions or identification?
Just in time, Mr. Chadwick. Sit down.
Sign to the prison.
This is Sergeant Asher.
Hello, Sergeant.
At the end of each line, I ask for questions or identification.
At the park on Cedar Avenue.
Well, you could have used the jail line.
If you're sure enough to
ensure
the suspect have him held, the officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, they are sent to the washroom and dressed back into their jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. Bring on the line. All right, boys, all the way to the end of the stage. Come on, all the way to the end, that's right. Now turn and face front, hands out of your pockets, down at your sides, and look straight ahead. That's the ticket. Now I'm going to ask each of you some questions. I want you to stand up, talk up so the people in the back of the room can hear you. It's a long way back there, so talk up. Number one, Foley O'Mahony, narcotics. What is it, Foley? O'Mahony or O'Mahony?
O'Mahony, Sergeant.
Well, speak up. Come on, what's the address you gave?
The search is in Captain South Africa. And that's my room, sir. That's my address.
Where's the last place you slept?
And aboard my ship, sir. The Emerald Queen. She's at Pier 14.
You're a merchant seaman, right?
Yes, sir.
How long you been in town?
2 days, sir.
Those are the clothes you were in when you were arrested?
Oh, yes, sir. These are my shore clothes, sir. That's my best, my very best, sir.
Stand up straight. Anyone arrested with you?
Yes, sir. A top name, Megan, sir.
Megan. That's number 17. He an American?
No, sir. Australian.
How long you known him?
Well, all my life, sir. We shipped together.
What are you using now, Foley? Heroin, cocaine, morphine, what?
Oh, sir, I'm not using anything, sir.
All right. Number two, Edward Bible, Grand Theft Auto. Where do you live, Edward?
Oh, me?
Yes, you.
I live with my sister-in-law.
They can't hear him, Sergeant.
They can't hear you out there, Edward. You'll have to speak louder. Tell them where you live again.
1550 Lafayette Street.
When the two officers signaled you to pull over to the side of the road, why didn't you stop instead of making them chase you?
Well, like I told the old boy upstairs, I didn't know they were policemen.
You didn't recognize their uniforms, prowl cars?
I have trouble with my eyes. They go back on me just like that sometimes.
Yes, Edward.
I ain't never been in no trouble, never. Except once. Arrested on suspicious. That's all, just on suspicious.
Suspicious, huh?
That's right.
What about your conviction?
When?
June 7, 1948, 2 years for burglary.
Oh, you know, Sergeant, I forgot all about that.
All right. Number three.
I just borrowed that automobile from that man, Sergeant. When an officer mashed on my doorbell and told me.
All right. That's enough, Edward. Slide down to the end of the line.
Yes, sir. Just one of these folks you know. Yes, sir.
All right. Number three, John Tynan, robbery. Where do you live, John?
4200 Larimer Street.
What's that?
The Silver Moon Motel.
How long you live there?
3 days.
Where'd you live before?
Topeka, Kansas.
Keep your hands at your sides. How long you been in town?
Got in last Sunday.
Come by bus, train, plane, or what?
I drove in with a man from Kansas City. We shared expenses and split the driving.
What's your work, John?
Electrician.
Were you carrying a weapon when the officers arrested you?
Yeah, revolver.
What kind?
.38.
Loose steel? Plated?
What? Nickel plated.
How long have you had it?
Well, I bought it for the trip. I didn't know the man I was traveling with, and I thought I ought to have something to protect myself with.
Where'd you buy it?
From a man in Topeka.
Okay, John. Number four, Carl Powers, assault. Face front, speak up, Carl. You live at 1601 Cherry Street?
Yep.
How long you live there?
Year.
The report says you were breaking furniture at that address.
They ganged up on me.
Who?
Mike and his wife.
Mike? Who's Mike?
Mike Bullock. Some double-jointed name I never could say.
Mike Bolinski? He's here too, you know.
I know.
Mike's got quite a shiner, Carl. So is his wife.
So have I.
Maybe all of you better lay off the hooch the next time you play cards. Any questions or identifications
from
the audience?
How about it, Mr. Chadwick? Number three fits the general description you gave.
Any questions or identifications from the audience?
I just don't think so, Lieutenant.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant?
Nothing, Sergeant.
Okay, run him off. Bring on the next line. Chadwick didn't come through, huh?
No. Here, take a look at this.
All these places?
Yep. M.O.'s exactly the same. Pick out a little neighborhood jewelry store. She stays on the outside. He goes inside and cleans the place. They hit once and scramble the next time.
Ben, these descriptions are all pretty much alike, including the one we got from Chadwick. Hey, what about that? I thought sure Tynan was our boy.
Well, let's keep hauling them in.
Okay. Well, how'd you come out?
16. How about you?
33. I'll have to wait 2 more years for another exam. Unless 32 sergeants quit the force. You get a chance.
Oh, not much. I've never made more than 14 appointments in a 2-year period.
That's the way it goes with civil service. Well, at least the waiting's over, huh? That's something. Hey, ha-ha, some game, huh?
What do you mean, some game?
Oh, sorehead.
Guthrie? Yeah. Denver? Mm-hmm. Well, hold on. Matt, what about Tynan?
Back at the city jail. Going to be arraigned on concealed weapons this afternoon.
It's okay. Thanks, Ryan. Tynan may still be our boy, Matt. Chief of police in Denver wants us to hold. Jewelry store man there identified the picture we put on the wire last night. Get Chadwick up here. He's down looking through the mug file.
my store all morning.
It won't take too long, Mr. Chadwick. We just want to clarify a few matters. You want us to get the man and woman who held up your store, don't you?
Why, yes, of course.
Then why have you been wasting my time, your time, the department's time, Mr. Chadwick?
What?
Last Saturday morning, a man and woman stuck up your jewelry store. Happened approximately 11:30 in the morning, before you went to the bank.
Now, just a minute, Lieutenant.
Let me finish, and then you can talk. Besides a sizable amount of jewelry stock, you also reported that over $800 in cash was taken from your safe. As a matter of routine, our robbery division found out that you haven't deposited more than $400 in cash on any Saturday morning within the last 8 months. But we gave you the benefit of the doubt. You seemed in good faith and anxious to cooperate with us. Matt, hand me Ben.
Here you are, Ben.
Thanks. This is a picture that went out over the wire last night. It's the man you saw in the lineup this morning. His name's John Tynan. A victim in Denver identified this picture of the man working with an unidentified woman who held up his store. We're pretty certain he's the same man who held you up. Well, what have you got to say?
I guess I've caused you an awful lot of trouble.
Well, it isn't the first time a victim hasn't identified a thief because of the money he hoped to collect on his casualty policy. Well, Mr. Chadwick?
Yes, he's the man who held me up. Will I be booked or something?
How much cash did he actually get?
$360.
How much did you claim?
$800 plus.
Give him a form, Matt, so we can verify this identification.
Right.
I don't understand people sometimes. They whoop and holler and cry for law and order and protection. When they have an opportunity to do something active in the way of apprehending criminals, they pass it up.
Signed here, Mr. Chadwick.
Yeah.
And this copy, too.
Now what?
You better call your lawyer, Mr. Chadwick. Insurance companies don't like to be lied to either.
Yeah, I got it too, and there's a couple of retirements coming up next month.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Pete.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. Boy, sure been sweating it out.
Haven't we all?
Okay, Herb. What's that book and number again?
22689.
Didn't we let him out for your lineup today?
Uh-huh.
How's Molly?
Good.
Hey, Sergeant! Hey, Sergeant! I gotta see him in just a minute. I got something to
later,
tell you.
Later, Ed, later.
Hey, but it's important, Sergeant.
Later, Ed.
No, don't forget it. Don't forget it.
Hi, Carl.
Well, Guthrie. How you been, Lieutenant?
Fine, thanks. Yourself?
Good. Hey, Lieutenant, why don't you get him to put radios in these places? At least while the series is on.
All right, knock it off, you guys. Knock it off. Some people want to get some sleep around here, you know. Tynan?
Yeah?
Come on.
Now what?
This way. There's no phone in here, Ben.
No, we won't need one. Thanks, Pete.
Sure.
Sit down, John. Smoke?
Sure. Why the visit? You're identified, John. Denver police want you for the same thing we picked you up on here. Mr. Chadwick here in town's identified you, too. Matt, show him.
Here. Look him over.
Well, son?
What's it mean?
That depends on you. Ever been in trouble before?
No.
How old are you?
23.
Well, with or without a statement, you'll be indicted for grand theft and robbery. They can also throw in transporting stolen property, carrying concealed weapons. It'll be easier if you cooperate with us.
How long?
That's up to the judge of the Superior Court. But we'll be there to tell him how much you helped us or how much you didn't.
Her name's Irene Oldham. You can pick her up at the Albany Hotel. She's registered under the name of Mrs. Dick McBride.
Get a stenographer, man. This Saturday night, CBS Radio catches up with the wandering caravan of Vaughn Monroe. After a one-month vacation, Vaughn, the Moon Maids, the Moon Man, and singing comic Ziggy Talent will again make music in the Monroe Manor over most of these same stations. CBS Radio beams their season's premiere to you this Saturday night. Don't miss it. John?
Thanks.
We'll get some facts first. You can take these, Hilly.
Hey, wait a minute. Did they pick up Irene yet?
They're doing it now.
Oh, I don't want to see her when they bring her in, Lieutenant.
You'll have to see her when you're arraigned.
But I don't want to see her now.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead. How long have you known Irene Oldham?
I met her 2 months ago.
Where?
My hometown, Topeka.
Go on, John.
We liked each other, Irene and me, and we decided to pull some jobs together.
Now, was it her idea or your idea?
Both of us, I guess. But she figured out a way to do it. The idea was to hit and run. So we took her car and went on the road. We'd go in a jewelry store and pretend like we're going to get married and wanted to pick out a ring. We'd wait until the store cleared if there were customers in there. Nobody suspected us. Even though Irene's almost 30, we both looked the same age, I guess. Well, when we had our chance, I'd gun the storeman and Irene keep a lookout in front. That's the way we planned it all the time. We'd stay in different places each town.
Where were you last Saturday morning at 11:30?
I was with Irene at a jewelry store on Eastern Avenue in this city.
Name the store.
The Elite Jewelry Company. We robbed it. I used a gun. .32 revolver that I bought in Topeka, Kansas. My accomplice in robbing. In this robbery was Irene Oldham. She looked out the front while I stuck up the man inside. I took everything in the open cases in the store that looked valuable to me, and then I forced the man to open the safe. I remember it was $360 because the man had it already deposited in the bank. I went outside then and...
Hold it, John. Well, checked out an hour ago. Just missed her. Hotel manager reported a big, nice-looking guy came and got her bag and baggage. Drove a cad, 51. Doorman thinks 62R first on the license numbers. Heard her call him Frank.
Well, see what you can do at license registration, Quine, and get out an APB on him. It can't get too far.
Right.
All right. Go ahead, John.
Well, I gave the money and the jewelry to Irene, like I'd been doing on all the jobs. Irene was saving it all for us. This was our last stop. We were going to get married and go to South America when we finished.
Went through the Monica file on that Frank.
Anything?
Well, about 16 possibilities from the description being worked on. Prince and her room matched up. She's a hometown girl.
Where'd she fall from?
This county. First time, January 1941. Automobile theft. R and I came up with this. Her name's Irene Kingston, alias Irene King, Irene Kensington, Irene Bradley, Helen Diamond. Got a mother living here, Mrs. Edith Kingston.
Mm. You got a make and one on this Irene yet?
Mm-hmm. Hash is holding it for you downstairs. She's got a red flag since 1948.
What's the charge?
Murder.
Mrs. Kingston?
Yes?
Police. I'm with Lieutenant Guthrie. This is Sergeant Greb. We'd like to talk to you.
About Irene?
Yes.
Come in. Sit down. Just a minute, I'll turn this thing off. What is it this time?
Irene's in town, Mrs. Kingston.
Well, I haven't seen her.
She hasn't contacted you at all?
She hasn't contacted me since she was 16, Sergeant.
You mean you haven't seen your daughter since she was 16, Mrs. Kingston?
I mean, yes, I've seen her. She's lived here with me at different times when she wasn't running around or in prison.
And when was the last time you saw her?
3 years ago.
She hasn't contacted you in all this time?
I said no before, Lieutenant. I can't help you.
Yeah, maybe you can, Mrs. Kingston. Do you know any of Irene's friends here in town?
I told you I haven't seen her for 3 years.
Well, we mean some old friends she might have known when you were seeing her, when she lived here with you.
I don't know any of them. They'd come here now and then. I never wanted them in the apartment. Some I remember, some I don't, I guess.
Well, this is our job, Mrs. Kingston. If it weren't us, it'd be somebody else. Your daughter's wanted for robbery and murder. We're trying to get a line on anyone she knew at all. Anyone she might see while she's in town. Any place she might stay. Have you got the list, ma'am?
Oh, yeah.
There's several names in her file downtown of people she associated with here. Maybe you know some of them or can tell us where we can locate them.
I told you I can't help you.
Well, let's try anyhow.
A man named Al Ames?
No. I don't even recognize that name.
Louis Wenberg?
No.
William Doyle? Rosetta Mays? Paul Frantz?
Rosetta Mays.
Hmm?
She went to high school with Irene. She died last year in childbirth.
John Eby? Leonard Ipwich?
You don't recognize any of those names, huh?
No. I'm not good at names at all. Maybe if I saw the faces, I could tell you something about them.
Mrs. Kingston, Irene came in town last weekend with a boy named John Tynan. We have him in custody already. She was staying at the Albany Hotel, calling herself Mrs. Dick McBride. She checked out just before we got there. And then she called Frank, picked her up. Do you know anybody she used to call Frank?
No.
Our description says he's a big man, over 6 feet, around 200 pounds or better. Dark hair,
I can't help you a bit. I've never been able to help the police. I've never been able to help Irene. She got a taste of the gutter once and she liked it. And that's it. Don't you understand? Don't you understand?
Oh, thanks, Mr. Kingston. Come on, then. Bye.
Bye.
We must get some men on this place 24 hours a day. See you, Joe.
Yeah.
You know, this baby could stand a paint job.
You say, hold it. Joe's waiting.
What do you want, Joe? Oh, Quine's on the phone, Ben. I thought it'd save time instead of a 10:41.
Right. Guthrie. Quine's picked up Frank out at the airport. Let's go, man. Any trouble, Quine?
No, like a lamb. Bought 2 tickets for the 5 o'clock plane. He used the name Mr. and Mrs. Frank Peterson. That was on his license, too. Frank Peterson.
Bring any luggage?
Checked it through already.
And what did he say?
Not a word. Asher's got him here.
Hiya, Matt. Ben.
Hi.
Hi.
Are you Frank Peterson? Well, let me tell you. You are Frank Peterson. You've already bought 2 tickets and checked your luggage. You're going to meet Irene Kingston here. Now, look. We'd rather pick her up where she's staying. Someone might get hurt around here. Where is she, Frank? Where's Irene Kingston? All right, take him down and book him.
Asher took out after her.
That way?
Yeah.
Hey, you. You there. Call an ambulance.
Come on, man.
Right. Through the parking lot, Ben.
There's Asher. Yeah, he got her.
Can't figure why she was running for that field.
You still alive?
Uh-huh. How's Quine?
Nick, you okay?
Yeah. I'll get an ambulance out.
Yeah. Be their plane. Wonder where they were going.
South America.
The lineup. Where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when we again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? All right. You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Greb. Sergeant Matt Greb. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name and charge. Have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, you may ask a question or identification.
The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie and Wally Mayer as Sergeant Matt Greb, was written by E. Jack Newman with music composed and conducted by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Peter Leeds, High Averback, Herb Butterfield, Howard McNear, Gil Stratton Jr., Ray Hartman, and Jeanette Nolan. The Lineup is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. This Saturday, Joan Crawford Crawford stars in I Knew This Woman, a poignant drama of family life when Stars Over Hollywood launches its 11th big season of dramatic hits on CBS Radio. Stars Over Hollywood is heard every Saturday in the daytime hours on most of these same CBS radio stations. It's 2 hours of music, the nation's favorite songs, every Friday evening on the CBS Radio Network.
Welcome back. Well, I don't, it's kind of an interesting, tactic in getting the witness to change their identification by, telling the witness, that they knew he lied. But also kind of an interesting scheme as well. I was a little confused by the civil service exam thing. Because it seemed like earlier in the show, it mentioned Guthrie and Grebs having taken an exam and being ranked higher, and it seemed a little soon for another round of exams. But I may have missed that. If you remember the episode, and I'm misremembering it somehow, let me know. All right, well, listener comments and feedback. And Joel says, the composer is Shostakovich. I got it. I hope. Shostakovich. As for the big size, is giant size really a funny story tells his kids and not to mean literal? I assume that is the case, since no characters in the show make reference to a 20-foot tall man with size 900 shoes. It's an odd and endearing program. Thanks for bringing it to me. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I know it's a story for the kids. It just throws your imagination off the first time you have it, you hear it. But then again, most of the detective shows, they don't, the detectives rarely describe themselves, I've noticed. All right. Well, this will actually do it for today. I do want to let you know about Mr. Moto. Mr. Moto's Last Warning, it's the sixth movie in the Mr. Moto series, a pretty good entry. Only film, Mr. Moto film in the public domain. Certainly, of course, released in the late 30s, it's certainly not gory or anything, but violence is a little heavier than in some of the other items we've played. But, yeah. I doubt it would, you know, lead to a show, a movie getting more than a PG rating, but just be advised on that. All right, well, we will see you tomorrow for the movie, and then join us back here on Monday. We'll start again with yours truly, Johnny Dollar. In the meanwhile, send your comments to Box13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.